Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I almost couldn't get through prayer there for a second. Glory. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Love the Lord. Love God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody doing good today? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm going to say one thing because this just came up to me during prayer there, and not something normally doesn't, stuff like this doesn't necessarily normally happen, and in this specific sense, I don't know if it's ever happened to me, but I just want to deliver a message real quick, if you don't mind. Praise God, hallelujah. But as I was praying, my sister Kimberly came up before me, and I just want you to know that the Lord is smiling upon you. I don't know what it's specifically for, but God is with you. Praise the Lord. And he's going to help you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just keep trusting in him. Amen. Hallelujah. But he singled you out. Hallelujah. So just know that your Heavenly Father is looking on you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Glory to God. Oh, man. Glory to God. It's just such a great place to be, isn't it? Amen. I am so glad that we don't have to have a stiff neck service. Praise the Lord, that we have to follow some kind of protocol, that we can just follow the Holy Ghost and we can have church just the way that God intended. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God isn't against people, and I'm not against people, but God is against religion. Amen. And when I say God is against religion, I don't mean specific denominations and stuff like that, because God loves people, and you know, he congregates them together and they come together how they do. Amen. But God wants to reach everybody, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter if you're stiff-necked or not. God still wants to reach you. He still wants to get to you. Amen. And if you just listen to him, if you're just hungry for him, he'll get you there. Hallelujah. He'll get through to you. He'll make a way because God wants to. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just so excited, you know, for the word today. I'm even more excited now because I don't know. I stepped in here. I'm almost giddy up here. Praise the Lord. I don't even know what to do with myself. Hallelujah. I could probably go for a run, but we got some visitors here. I don't want to scare anyone away. Praise the Lord. The first time, and be like, what? Why is that preacher just running around the room? Praise the Lord. Well, he's just excited for God. Hallelujah. Just excited for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Well, maybe one of these days we'll do that. Hallelujah. But I'm not even going to say I sense to preach the message. I'm just going to go that way. And if the Lord stops me, well, praise the Lord. And if it scares you, well, praise the Lord, I'm sorry. But glory to God, it shouldn't. Hallelujah. We want to. We know we congregate together. Some people are like, what is he talking about? Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, let the ignorant be ignorant still. Don't worry about what I'm talking about. Just stick around. You'll find out. Amen. Praise the Lord. You stick around for a little while, and some of that stuff that's written in these pages will rub off on you too. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God will get to you too, and he'll stir you up. Amen. And when you get stirred up in God, when you get stirred up in Jesus, hallelujah. There ain't no going back. Amen. You know, there's so many things that we can get wrapped up in. There's so many different outlets that we can have. There's so many different drugs that we can take. There's so many different things that we can drink. But I'm just going to tell you, when you meet the real God, hallelujah, that you won't want to stop going for. You won't want to stop getting in that mix. Praise the Lord. Praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You'll start saying stirred, not shaken. Hallelujah. Or maybe stirred and shaken, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's dangerous right now. Praise the Lord. You may have walked into the, I don't know, you came here today. I don't know what you was expecting, but praise the Lord. Glory to God. You just keep expecting because, praise the Lord, we want to go with the flow of God. Amen. Glory to God. We want whatever God has for us. Well, today's message is called Inbounds or Out of Bounds. Amen. In bounds and out of bounds. Today we are going to be talking about boundaries. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Maybe not exactly what you think when I say boundaries, but we're going to be talking about boundaries. Amen. Glory to God. You know, how many in here know that God has created everything? Yes. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. You know, I've created a lot of things in my life as a person who's artistically inclined. Hallelujah. There's things that I like to put together. And every once in a while, something works out. Amen. When I do something, every once in a while, I build something and it comes out just the way that I want it. Or I draw something, it comes out pretty much the way that I wanted it. Amen. You know, but whenever I build or draw or whatever, there's an intent and there's a purpose for it. Amen. I have a plan for that thing. And so I set the parameters of what I'm doing when I start off. Amen. You know, if you were going to build a house, you set the parameters by you first draw up a plan and you come up with, you say, well, I want this many rooms and I want this many bathrooms and this many living rooms and praise the Lord, sometimes this many kitchens. Glory to God. But you come up with the parameters of what you want. Amen. And then the builder will build those things accordingly. They'll build according to those parameters and those boundaries, you could say. Amen. And things work a certain way within those boundaries. When you have, when we were doing this church, one thing I didn't do, we put in enough outlets, glory to God, in the kitchen, or on the buffet line, hallelujah. We put in enough outlets, but what we didn't do is put in enough outlets on their own power, on their own breaker. So we still can't use them like they're, you know, you can have a lot of outlets, but unless they're, you know, but there's a purpose to those outlets and it didn't fulfill itself exactly the way we hoped. Praise the Lord. So we have to share it to move things around. But you understand that there's boundaries. There's things that you can, there's only so far you can go with things in the way that it's designed. Amen. In the way that it's put together, even though the thought was different. And I'm talking from a human standpoint, you know, the design of it, praise God, will only allow for a certain capacity or whatever. You know, if you look at this room, we can only fit so many people in here. Praise the Lord. We got a great number in here today. Praise the Lord. And we can fit a few more in. But you can only put a few more in before we're going to have to put a bigger room to put all of them in. Amen. And so, because you can only squeeze so many in. And so there's boundaries, there's parameters. And it's according to the design and how it works. And so just like that, our Heavenly Father has created everything. He's created this earth. He's created, actually, to tell you the truth, I'm going to say something, and it might throw you off a little bit, but God created the devil. Yeah, God created the devil. He didn't create the devil to be evil, but he created the devil nonetheless. Amen. And he gave him his abilities. You know, the devil had, the Bible talks about the devil and Satan. He had natural abilities. There's things that he could do. One of the things that he could do was he could sing really well, the Bible tells us. Amen. Or at least alludes to that. Amen. Pretty clearly, but it would seem. But he created everything and he put parameters on everything. When he created man, he put him in a garden, right? Does anyone remember that? Put him in a garden. He built a specific garden and put man in that. And in that garden, he provided a certain amount of things, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he created the earth to operate a certain way. He created it has like leeway and things, you know, just like he designed us to, you know, we're all designed the same. We have a very similar, our DNA is similar in the sense that it works the same way. But look how many different faces you get and how many different colors you get and how many different sizes you get and how many different, you know, whatevers you get. And praise the Lord for it. God has created each one of us in that same parameter. So there's boundaries to it, so it can't go too far. Amen. And so this is the thing that we're going to look at God today, is that God has set certain boundaries in life so things can only go so far. Amen. Creation can only go so far. You know, even if God just said, well, I'm not going to ever come back, we're going to just let the earth go as it is, how many know that eventually we're going to run out of room here on this planet? Amen. Well, don't you know that God has created this earth for a time? Yes. It wasn't meant, this earth specifically, isn't going to last forever. Amen. God's going to do other things. And perhaps there was other things in his plan that we missed out on. I'm sure there was. But my point to saying all this is that we have to understand that there is boundaries on everything. There is boundaries in our lives. There are things that we can do. There's things we can't do. And this is why it's so important to find out the plan of God. Now, you say, well, Pastor Jeff, you always preach, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that if you believe, there's nothing that's impossible to him who believes. That's within the boundaries that God has set. Amen. You can believe all day long that you're going to sprout wings and fly, but you can stand up on top of a building. I guarantee you, no matter how strong your faith is, it'll never happen. Why? Because we know that it's according to the will and purpose of God. Things have to be done within the will and purpose of God. And so often this is where Christians miss it, because they're trying to do things outside the will and purpose of God, and then they're still trying to be blessed. But those two things don't go together because you've stepped outside the boundaries. Amen. You know, when one time when we lived in Jamestown, my wife and I think it was just maybe my, it wasn't all of us. I think it was just my wife and daughter. We were out for a walk And we were walking down this one street, and all of a sudden I heard the thing you don't like to hear when you're walking, and that's a loud repetitive bark that gets closer and closer and closer. Amen. And so I turned real quick to see this dog just, I mean, it was one of those big scary dogs, you know, with the big growly teeth and all that stuff, and got stuff, you know, drooling out of its mouth, and praise the Lord, looking at me like dinner, hallelujah. Glory to God, and maybe dinner and lunch, I don't know, praise the Lord. But he was seeing something good. He was running, and he didn't look happy, right? Praise the Lord. And he was coming at us, and I swung, and I kind of pushed my wife and daughter behind me like this. But just as that happened, I see the dog get to the end of that line. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And it jerked him back. Yeah. Whew, and there was a sigh of relief. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What happened? That dog had a boundary. Yeah. He had so far that he could go, and he was going to go no further. Yeah. Amen. Well, just the same, you know, we have to understand this, that there's boundaries in our lives, that we can run after something. We can see something that's enticing to us. We can go chasing after it. But see, if it isn't God, yeah, praise the Lord, we're going to get to an end of a chain eventually. Yeah. And we're just going to be, but sometimes like some stupid dogs. Have you ever seen a dog choke itself on its own leash? You ever seen a dog do that? I mean, when you're walking a dog, it doesn't know how to walk yet on a leash, and they're sitting there and they're pulling against. That's sometimes what humans are doing too. That's what sometimes what Christians are doing. We're pulling against those things that God to get after something that our flesh wants, but not necessarily what God has for us. Now, God has wonderful things for us. He has things that will bless us. He has things that will bless us greatly. But see, this is the thing. We can't make that up. It's our job to find out what that is. Amen. Now, just the same as we have boundaries, there's someone else that has boundaries too. Actually, everything else has boundaries. Glory to God. But even the devil has boundaries. The devil can only, he is chained. He can only do so much. Praise the Lord. I said he can only do so much. And so if we get this knowledge of both of these things, if we get this understanding, we are going to advance in life so far. We will get through. We will go over those mountains, and the effectiveness of the devil in our life will be minimalized greatly because we follow God. This is why following the Spirit of God is so important. But we're going to see this in the Word today. Praise the Lord. I know you wanted to get there. So let's turn to Acts 17:26. We're actually in this scripture kind of not too long ago. But I want to remind you of something. We may go to some similar scriptures often even, but there's different things that we get out of them. And so if we get caught up in, oh, I've heard this scripture before, then what we miss is what God is revealing to us at that moment. You see, because I can read the same scripture 1,000 times. Sometimes I have. And every single time, God reveals something more to me. Or in different times, God reveals a lot more to me. And so we need to be people that are okay with hearing the Word, praise the Lord, that are okay with hearing the direction of the Word, hallelujah, and getting what God has for us in that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Acts 17:26. Glory to God. And it says here, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Hallelujah. So God has determined that the fact that you live, what is the year today? It's 2019. The fact that you are living and breathing in the year 2019 is the fulfillment of this very verse right here. God has determined your preappointed time. Don't think, man, I would like to. See, so often we get deceived into looking into other things. Man, I would have loved to live in this time period, or those were the good old days. Or no, these are the good old days. Praise the Lord. Why are these the good old days? Because these are the days where God has you. Amen. Now, he had you in the good old days, some of you. Praise the Lord. We've been in some good old days. Amen. But don't get too caught up in what was, because you'll miss what's coming. If you get caught up on all that God did or all where you were, you know, some people do this as they get older. It's a shame. It's a travesty that people, as they grow old, they start looking at their life in sometimes regret. Like I remember somebody close to me saying, just wanting to go because they were a person of faith. Just maybe didn't have this understanding, but they said, I just don't feel like I'm any good here anymore. Well, God has you here. Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So be excited. Yeah. God, what do you have for me today? Yeah. Because there's something that you're doing that you can do today that would please the Lord. And so there's purpose for you being here. And I'm excited that you're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't think, you know, one of the mistakes that people make is they think that they get to a place where they're used up or they're washed up. And that's just never the case when you follow God. I love God. You know, Dr. Dufresne, he went. A lot of you don't know who he was, but he was a dear, precious minister. I guess he'd be like a great grandfather in the faith to me, and just loved him so greatly. But man, hallelujah! He was here. I was so thankful for him being here, and he was in his 70s, and he even said that he was tempted at times to get out of the ministry and just go relax somewhere. Amen. But no, there was more need for him. Yeah. Paul said this, the same thing. The Apostle Paul said it's more needful. He said, he was trying to decide: do I depart and go on to be in heaven with Jesus? You do have some say over that, by the way. Ooh, wow, praise the Lord. I ain't preaching that today, but we do have some say over that. He said, or do I stay here for you? Or do I stay here because it's more needful for you? See, it was needful for them to have Paul, and aren't we glad? Because we get almost two-thirds of the New Testament through the Apostle Paul and his revelation. But praise God. You know, it's so awesome to think about that. There is need for us to be here. And so because God has determined our pre-appointed times, not only are we in the right place at the right time, you know that, right? Praise the Lord. Have you ever hear people say that? Say, well, they were in the right place at the right time. Oh, the Christians would learn that they are in the right place at the right time. Glory to God. Now you can take yourself in being in the right place at the right time. You can put yourself in the bad position. Amen. You know what I mean? You can keep choking yourself on that rope, but you might as well just sit, relax, and be in the right place at the right time. But oh, that Christians would get that understanding that I am the right place at the right time. That means that everything I need, it's right here, right now. There is nothing that I could want, desire. There's nothing that I could need, that I could use, that isn't available to me in this time, in this place. Why? Because God has me right where he has me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, we can move ourselves out of that. You know, if we move around, you know, I could all of a sudden I could move to Arizona and God didn't call me to Arizona and I could be out of God's plan. But I know this, that God has called me to this area. And because he's called me to this area, I know and will find my blessing in this area. Amen. And so will you. Praise the Lord. But God has made from one blood every nation of man. So we understand this. Praise the Lord. For all those that like to preach about different kinds of nationalities and maybe how this one's more important than this one, I'm just going to tell you right now, God has all made us with the same blood. Yes. Hallelujah. God made us in variations of colors. He made us in variations of kinds. Praise the Lord, because God likes diversity. Yes. Praise the Lord. But listen, you're just as good as your neighbor is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Love it. There should be no division over this in the body of Christ at all. It shouldn't even be a question. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how tall you are. I don't care what gender you are. It's all God. God has designed it all, and it's all good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody say we're good. Praise the Lord, because God designed us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But he has made us to fill the earth, glory, and subdue it. You know, we know that from Genesis. And he has determined their pre-appointed times and their boundaries. You know, one thing I love about following God is I can't just buy any house anymore. I can't buy any car anymore. I can't just make decisions like that. You say, well, that doesn't sound very good. Actually, it does, because I ain't worrying about it either. Amen? I just seek Lord. You know, there's sometimes there'll be things stirring in you, and you won't even know why it's stirring. Sometime we're going to give you a real good testimony of something that happened just this week. Just some amazing stuff that God did. Praise the Lord, because we serve God. Hallelujah. He blessed me and my wife this week. Glory to God, and showed us and taught us the things. But we're going to get into that at some point, just not today. Praise the Lord. But God, we don't just have to worry about, like, what am I going to do? Because God has provided things for us. Amen? The trick is figuring out what those things are. And it's not hard to figure out what those things are when we follow the plan of God. And how do we do that? You're doing the first step today. You're sitting in church. You're listening to the word. Praise the Lord, because we know that the word is preached to help us do better for God. Amen. Praise the Lord, and to grow our faith so we can be better. But we need to learn. We need to determine. We need to set it in our hearts to be after God. Amen. I mean to just be fully after God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. No, I'm not going to turn there. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We'll save that for another time, maybe on Tuesday. Praise the Lord. Well, so he has determined our pre-appointed times and the boundaries of our dwellings. That means that God has a church for you. God has a pastor for you. God, I love how Josh said that, because I didn't tell him to say that, but I love, because he has the same attitude that I've had. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. And about me ministering to James, it's not just following a minister. And don't feel obligated to be there. I'm not saying that. But just that attitude of, I want what God has for me. And so I recognize that connection. You know, we have to follow our hearts on those things. And it's good to do so. It's good to have a heart that, you know what? I'm going to follow everything that I possibly can. Get everything I possibly can out of my connection. Praise the Lord. My connections that God has given me. Amen. And so, and that's where we're blessed. That's part of how we find and discover the plan of God, because we don't sever those connections. So many Christians are going out there just trying to do their own thing. I can't stress this enough. They're trying to do their own thing, and that's why they're failing, or they're just not coming up to the mark. God will still bless you. You know that? You can be, you know, there's that one scripture, is it, I can't remember exactly where it is. I think it's in Acts, but it says, it talks about God's perfect, how does it say it? His perfect and permissive will. It talks about the difference between his, or that you may prove what is his perfect. What is it? Yeah, something like that. Well, praise the Lord. But God has a perfect will and he has a permissive will. What's a permissive will? A permissive will is we still get to go to heaven. He's still going to bless us as much as he can, but we're never going to walk in the fullness of what he has for us because we don't follow his perfect will. God has a perfect will for you and I. In that perfect will is all the provision we need. It's all the direction we need. It's all the comfort we need. It's all the joy we need. It's all the things that it's found in his perfect will. But if we don't find his perfect will, and it's not hard to find, and this is the thing. God's perfect will is not some obscure thing that we can't find it just on ourselves by ourselves. We can't find it sitting on our couch, praise the Lord. You can't find it going into the woods. You can't find it doing just the things you like to do. You have to do it the way that God has told us to do it, amen? Well, praise the Lord. And so we're talking about boundaries today. Glory to God. And we need to understand that there's boundaries placed in life. And the understanding that there's boundaries will help us operate more effectively in the kingdom and the body of Christ. Amen. It will help us be more effective at life. Is there anyone who wants to be effective at life? Yes. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone sitting here saying, man, I just didn't have a good year. I didn't have a good 10 years. Man, I just had a pretty terrible life. Maybe you're at that place. I've been to that place before. Not that my life was good in a lot of ways, but because of the things I had chosen, it got me into a place where I was living really, really rough, really out of the will and the plan of God. But now my life has changed because I just redirected it, amen? And I redirected it because God sent me the right people, amen? You know, praise God, hallelujah. You know, I want to address something this morning. You know, there's this thought, there's this idea that God is has orchestrated everything. You know, and recently I was in a funeral, and of course, and whenever around, if you actually been to several funerals recently, but whenever you're around this, you always think about mortality. You always, at least I do, I always think about life, and I always think about what people believe. Amen. And one of the things that I find people believe so often, the people of faith believe things that are just absolute nonsense. Right. I said they just believe absolute nonsense. They believe that God is just orchestrating, and that if somebody dies, that it was just God's time for them, so they died. Well, how about if that person, was doing something really bad or really stupid that caused them to die? For example, what if you got in your car and you got up on the expressway and you were driving 150 miles an hour, and all of a sudden the tire blew out because you were going so fast, and you crashed and you died? Was that God's will? No, that doesn't make any sense, does it? You died because you did something stupid. Or if you just said, well, I'm just going to run this car right into a wall at 150 miles an hour. No, it wasn't God putting the thought in your head to run the car into a wall at 100. No, but we know people do that. Does that mean that it's God's will for them to die at that point? No, it would be foolish to even think that. Yet people think that when someone passes, that it's always God's will. You know, like, I mean, there's all these things that we could do. You know, there's people, I've known people that have drank themselves to death with alcohol. Was that God's will? Did God choose for them to die at that moment? No, they did that by their own actions. And so we see that our actions matter. The reason that the thinking otherwise is dangerous is because if we go through life thinking that God is just going to manipulate and control everything, then we don't realize that the things we're doing are actually causing us the pain and trouble that we're seeing. That God hasn't put it on us, but that we're allowing it to be put on ourselves. Amen? Well, I just wanted to share that with you. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Genesis 3:22. I hope that was clear enough. You understand, God is not manipulating things to happen. God has set boundaries, okay? And that's a very important thing to understand in this. God has set boundaries for things to operate and only go so far. I'm going to tell you right now, don't be deceived. If the devil could have killed you, he would have already. If the devil could have stopped this whole thing, he would have stopped it long before Jesus came. The devil doesn't have that much control. Praise the Lord. There's been boundaries set on him. Amen. Glory to God. Sin, actually, we understand that sin causes death. I'm going to tell you something. Sin, the fact that death has happened in the human race after we have sinned is actually a blessing of God. And it's a blessing of God because, well, we're going to see this here. Amen. I'm going to talk about this more. And if I don't, remind me, love. Genesis 3:22. So this is after man has sinned. Amen. They're in the garden. Adam and Eve have sinned, right? They did what they weren't supposed to do. And then it says here, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us. That's interesting. Who's he talking to? Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, he's talking about Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Talking to Jesus and the Holy Ghost. That'll preach too. Amen. But we ain't going that way. To know good and evil, and now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Amen? This is very important to understand here. Something God was saying, this is where man gets cast out of the garden. Growing up, I never understood why God would cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, except that he was mad at him. Had nothing to do with him being mad at him. God is not just going, now listen, there is a righteous anger that comes out. There is the wrath of God. There's things that we can't fail to talk about at times. There is truth to that. But God didn't just banish man from this beautiful garden because he was mad at him. Amen? Look what he said. He said, this is very important. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, praise the Lord. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Verse 24, so he drove out the man and he placed cherubim. Praise the Lord. Cherubs are not sweet little babies with flapping wings. Amen. Glory to God. Because that wouldn't scare man away from the Garden of Eden, would it? Hallelujah. Oh, this little cute little baby floats. This chubby little baby floats up. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, no, I don't. See, this is why we got to be scriptural, guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. He placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. God wanted death. God wanted you to die. This is what his whole intent was all along. It's foolishness. God didn't want death. In fact, God also couldn't have corruption. Amen. Praise the Lord. This came to me last night as I was meditating on the scripture here. And I was meditating on the scripture without even opening it. Hallelujah, that'll preach too. Glory to God. But I was meditating on the scripture here, and the Lord spoke this to my spirit. God will not allow what is defiled to dwell in that which is holy.
That's right.
God sets up boundaries. God will not allow that which is defiled to dwell in that which is holy. See, what happened to man is when man sinned, he brought something into mankind that wasn't intended to ever be there. God intended us to have a relationship with him. He intended us to have a glorious closeness with him. But see, the devil knew something. The devil knew that if man was corrupted, he couldn't be with God. Why? Because God can't be around that. In fact, the Bible tells us that just coming into his presence, we would die. Not because God would strike us dead, but because the two are so opposite. The two things cannot dwell together. Amen? You know, you think about, I always think about, when I think about this, I always think about just simple oil and vinegar, oil and water. You know, when you're sitting there and you're about to have your salad. I love Greek dressing. Anyone like Greek dressing? Yeah. The Greeks just did it right, man. Hallelujah. They make some good dressing. They put it on the potatoes. Those are the best potatoes ever. Greek potatoes. I don't know why more people don't sell Greek potatoes. But anyways, praise the Lord. When you put that dressing on them, right? Similar, yeah, hallelujah. But what do you know about that dressing? You have to shake that every 2 seconds. I mean, it's starting to separate by the time you're pouring it. That's how fast it separates. Why? Because the two things won't mix. They can't mix. And it's the same thing with God and sin. The two things can't mix. God can't mix with sin. He can't have sin around him. It's destroyed instantly. It's a little more extreme than just oil and water separating. You can't just shake it back up, amen? That's why we needed Jesus. Jesus came to bridge that gap, amen? But see, sin separated us from God. It's not that God is just sending people to hell. Praise the Lord. That when man sinned, he changed his direction and put it on a new course. Jesus... God sent Jesus to stop that course. Yes. He interrupted that course and saying, no, I'm going to give you. And he gives us all through our lives. He gives us all. Here, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. And each time that we deny that is another step that we get closer to hell and further away from God. And not because he has willed it that way. God has willed and desired that we find him, that we get to heaven, that we find the right path. Hallelujah. God has determined that we would find the right path. But what was God doing here? See, the thing is if they had eaten from the tree of life, they would have lived forever. And that means that man would have lived forever separated from God. And God couldn't have that because he loved us too much. And so what he did here is he said, I'm keeping you out of the garden. You can't go there anymore. Not because I don't want to bless you. I can't let you in there because I got to have you back with me. I can't have you separated from me forever. God blessed us by allowing us to die. Because now the flesh was corrupted. You know, sometimes when something's corrupted, there's no good but to just cut it out, isn't it? I don't know if you know anything about cars. I've learned a little bit about cars just watching some people that collect cars and stuff like this and getting new paint jobs and all that stuff. But one thing that I've learned is that if there's a little bit of rust, it'll come back. This is what they all say. If there's a little bit of rust, you can clean it up, but it's going to come back. Why is that? Sometimes something gets corrupted enough, you just got to cut it out. Praise the Lord. And so we understand that. We don't want to live separated from God forever. Amen? And so God had to make a way. But see, when he did this, he made a way for us to get back to him. He made get back to that blessing. And Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. He made covenant with the Jews even in a time period where they had nothing to bring them back into his grace. And of course, there was a lot of things that they had to do. But Christ has made it so it's a lot easier for us to do that. Amen? And so we understand that God cannot allow, you cannot allow that which is defiled to take the place of that which is holy. What God has set up for us is holy. The plan, the purpose, the boundaries that God has given us is holy. God's plan for your life is precious and it's holy. So you can't get there if you don't live holy. You can't get there if you don't live the life that God has asked you to live because he can't allow that to intermingle. They won't. They'll just keep separating. It'll push it out. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so we have to understand this about ourselves, that we need to purpose in our lives. We need to determine, I'm going to live holy. Yeah. Holy. Yeah. Well, I'm going to live clean. Yeah. I'm going to live the life that God has me to live, because if I live that life, then I get to stay within his boundaries. And when I stay within his boundaries, I am blessed. And the people around me are blessed. Hallelujah. We won't see death like other people see it. Now, eventually, if Jesus tarries, our bodies will see death. But I've known people that have gone on to be with the Lord, and it's just been a transition. They've just stepped over, like stepping into a new room or something like that. You know, Brother Hagin, who we're quite connected to, when he went on to be with the Lord, he always said that he was going to go home to be with the Lord after good breakfast. He literally ate breakfast. It's a true story. He ate breakfast. He leaned back, and he put his head down and gave up the ghost. He was gone. When I say gave up the ghost, he was gone. Praise the Lord. He went on to be, and they tried, you know, naturally tried to resuscitate him and stuff like that. But he was gone. He was out of there. Yeah. There was no struggle. There was no pain. There wasn't years of, sickness or anything like that. He went at a time when, well, praise the Lord. And so we understand that until Jesus comes back, until Jesus returns to this earth, there will be people that will pass on. But while we're here, there is a plan for us to accomplish. That plan is in the boundaries of God. Everything that's attached to your life is in those boundaries. They're found in that place. Now, when I say boundaries, I don't want to make it sound like to you that God is limiting you. Because we understand about God's boundaries. God put boundaries around Eden, didn't he? But you know what was in Eden? If you knew what was in Eden, you would never want to leave Eden. In fact, everybody's spending their lives today trying to have Eden in their own life the whole time. God says, I'll provide it for you. Just follow me. I'll put you in Eden. He'll put you in Eden. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter if you're in Mayville, New York. Hallelujah. I said it doesn't matter if you're in Mayville, New York. Praise the Lord. You're in Sherman, New York, right? God shows up in Sherman. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God wants Eden in Sherman, too. He wants Eden in Westfield and Jamestown and Lakewood and Sugar Grove. We got Sugar Grove people in here. Praise the Lord. We got them all over the place. Portland. Hallelujah. I think we even got Fredonia folks in here a little bit, too. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's just going to bless everybody. Amen. You know what else is neat? Is God sets up his boundaries, too, with his people. And so the very fact that this church is spread out around the area. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What is God doing? He's spreading the boundaries, man. He wants blessed. Because listen, if you're blessed, if you're going to be blessed, then the area you live in has got to be blessed. Amen. Because I can't be blessed where there ain't no blessing. You know what I'm saying? What do you mean? What do I mean by blessing? I mean all of it. All that God says. Whatever he says blessing is, and all that's included in that, that's all I want. Nothing more. Praise the Lord. I don't want nothing more that's in my boundaries. Hallelujah. But that's a lot. That's an awful lot. If you understood what that was, oh, glory to God, you'd be running with me this morning. I couldn't stop any of you from running this morning if you understood what God's blessing and what he wants in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean there won't be trial and opposition. Why? Because the devil knows that if he can get you out of bounds, what happens when somebody, you play sports. I don't play sports, but when you're in sports and you're out of bounds, what happens? You're all done, right? I'm looking at my brother Scott over here. He's telling me, he's like, you're done, man. What's that? It's done. The play's dead. Yeah, when you're out of bounds. Well, Christians are running out of bounds all the time. You understand what I'm saying? They're beelining out of bounds. God says, no way, come back here. You ever see that? The videos of the kid that gets the ball and they're running the wrong direction? You know what I mean? Everybody laughs about that. They run. And the kid is just excited. He's running. Nobody's chasing him. You know what I mean? Praise God. But that's a lot of Christians are running the wrong direction. God's like, oh, come back here. And everybody else is like, the kid thinks they're being cheered because they haven't learned to listen to the voice. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You think you're being cheered the whole time. God's saying, no, come back. Come back. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you saying, come back. Come back. And you ain't listening to the Holy Spirit because you're too busy. You got your headphones in and you're running. You see the clap or the waving and you think, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's this poem I love. I'm not going to read it, but there's this poem I love. Praise the Lord. And the name of the poem is Not Waving But Drowning. And the whole concept of the poem is that there's this guy out in the water waving, and it goes through the poem. And at the end of the poem, you find out the guy wasn't waving. He was drowning, and he was waving like, help me, help me, help me. And everybody's like, hey. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the same thing. There's a lot of Christians, you know, they think that God's just waving, but man, they're drowning. Praise the Lord. We don't want to be drowning Christians. Hallelujah. We want to walk in what God has for us. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. John 16:33. We know the scripture, right? These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And in the Amplified it says, I have deprived it of its power to harm you. I have deprived the world. No, that's very big to think about. Jesus said, I have deprived the world of its power to harm you. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer because I've deprived it of its power to harm you. I don't know if you got what I'm saying yet. Jesus said that I have deprived the world of its power to harm you. The devil, the world has no power over you. God has set a boundary. And so is anyone here. Has anyone here dealt with an attack they knew wasn't good? Has anyone here dealt with some opposition in their life? Is there anyone here that was like, you know what, this doesn't seem like a good life that God wanted, and I keep praying and I keep doing all these things, and it just doesn't seem good? Well, I'm here to tell you something. For as tough as the attack seems, God has put a limit on it. For as tough as the attacker seems, God has limited him. He said, you can only go so far. There's only so much that you can do, praise the Lord. And why has God gave him any room at all? Why has he given us any room in that? Because he wants us to grow in faith. So we get a better understanding of him. Because when we grow in faith, it's just like why does it hurt when you lift weights? Because it's building something better. Amen. Why does it hurt when you're running? Because it builds something better. Well, it's the same thing with sometimes with the attack. It hurts a little bit because it's building something better if you let it. But see, here's the problem. A lot of people don't let it because they don't believe this. And see, really what the bulk of this message is, and a lot of our messages lately are focusing on the same thing, and that's learning to trust God. Yeah. We have to learn to trust God. I got this image in my head. Praise the Lord. Mark, come on up here. We're going to do something called the trust fall. Hallelujah. Nope, I'm gonna trust you. This is my boy. Praise the Lord. I said that if I was ever going to go to war and I could take one person with me, it would be this man right here. Hallelujah. Why? Because I trust him. Glory to God. But we all know what a trust fall is, right? I'm falling. Praise the Lord. A trust fall is just when you fall. And I'm just gonna fall again. Praise the Lord. I hope he's paying attention, because I'm just gonna keep trusting him. Hallelujah. I might just turn this way and just fall. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You can go sit back down. We all know what a trust fall is. What is a trust fall? A trust fall is where you are so confident of the one behind you that it doesn't even cross your mind that you're going to fall backwards. Amen. I'm glad he didn't drop me, because that would have ruined the illustration. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But you know, that's exactly what God is trying. That's what trusting God is about, is when we're willing to say, here we go, Calgon, take me away. Now, I know he ain't behind me now, so I'm putting the foot out. Hallelujah. I'm going to catch myself. But amen. But you understand what I'm saying. That's what trusting God is. Trusting God is believing God that he will always be there, that he's always there to pick you up. And if we get to that place, I'm telling you, there's nothing that we can't get through. There's nothing that we can't get beyond. God has set boundaries on our enemies. He has set boundaries on. So he hasn't just given us. The fact that he's given us boundaries doesn't mean anything bad. You know, there's nobody that's inside a fort when it's getting attacked that looks at the wall on the outside of the fort and says, you know what? I wish that wasn't there. I wish that boundary wasn't there. No, they look at that and they say, thank God we built those walls. I wish we would have built them taller. But see, with God, the wall's always bigger. With God, it's always longer. It's always more encompassing. It's always thicker. It's never penetrable. Hallelujah. God has made it impenetrable, because God, that's who our God is. So when he's put borders around our lives, he hasn't put borders around our lives to hurt us. He's put it to contain everything that's good that he wants to do in us. Amen? Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. And so we see this. Boundaries with God are not a bad thing, except if you're the devil. Now, if you're the devil, the boundaries of God, well, you don't like that. Because the Bible says he can form a hedge around you. Angels can form a hedge around us, a protection around us. If we understood, and we need to learn these things, we need to learn how to employ our angels, we need to learn how to do these things and trust God. Trust him at his word, because God wants us to live a good life. But his life that he has us lived is not just to sit there and be good, so we can sit there drinking, sipping on our iced tea on our porch and saying life is good. Oh, bless me. God has blessed us so we go out there and share it with the world, that we help other people get blessed, that we help other people get full of what God has for us. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Turn with me to Job 38. Praise God. I don't get to preach out of Job a whole lot, but I'm glad I get to today. Praise the Lord. Job 38, it's not Job, although I have heard some people pronounce it that way. Huh? Yeah, and if you're 38, you should get a job. Praise the Lord. Where did that come from? Job 38, verses 1 through 12. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so thankful for the word of God. Do you know, I'm just going to tell you, God woke me up at 4:30 again this morning. I was even prepared. I don't even know what, I loved it though. I got up, I looked at my watch, although I wasn't surprised. I looked at the watch, it was 4:30. I don't wake up at 4:30 ever. But this morning he did. God just, you know, and I just love it. And just, I'm assuming because he wanted to spend time with me. But praise the Lord for that. It's so good to follow God. Amen. Literally 4:30 in the morning. I mean, it's unreal, uncanny. Job 38, verse 1 through 12. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Okay, remember, Job was saying, claiming all these things about God and about what he's done and all this stuff and about how good he's been and stuff like that. You know, Job has been claiming a lot, right? And so here, this is where God answers Job. Everybody say, the Lord
answered Job.
Now, I want to tell you something about Job. Job didn't have a covenant with God. Yeah. Covenant means something. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I have a covenant with my wife. It's called marriage. Love the covenant of marriage, right? Yeah. I have a covenant with my wife. There are privileges that my wife and I get back and forth between each other because we have covenant. Yeah. There are things that nobody else gets that we get because we have covenant. Yeah. And aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, you're glad for your own. I'm glad for mine. You'd be glad for yours. But we have a covenant with God. Job didn't have a covenant with God. Everybody say, Job
didn't have a covenant
with God.
But
I do. Hallelujah. Glory. Job didn't have a covenant with God, but we do. Amen. That means something. But we ain't preaching about that today. So then he goes, Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? So God's saying to Job, you're speaking stupid. Amen. That's the Jeff Michener paraphrase. Hallelujah. That's stupid talk, Job. Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. You ever done that? You been mad at God? Anybody in here ever been mad at God? Yeah. Oh, don't you sit there and be pious. I got a couple hands, but I know full well that you've been mad at God. Why? Because you're human, and there's some time that you thought God wronged you. I've been mad at God before, and I've yelled at God before. That's what Job was doing. And now Job gets to respond. I'm glad that God didn't talk to me like this. Or maybe I needed it. I don't know. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If I did, he would have. But now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Praise the Lord. Now, I might have said something similar to my boy before. Prepare yourself like a man. If I say prepare yourself like a man, that means get ready because something's about to come down. Amen? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You're about to get smacked upside the head. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying, yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Because sometimes when you say something stupid, you need to be smacked for it. Yeah, sometimes when you say things that are wrong, you need to be corrected for it, amen? Because it's not good. I mean, whatever drives out the correction, whatever means are necessary to drive out the thing that needs to be corrected, whatever it is that needs to do that needs to happen. Because we have a whole generation of kids today that don't have enough things driven out of them, and that's why they're running around doing whatever they want to do, not caring about anybody else. You wonder who's creating it? It's all the lily parents that won't stand up and say no. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You get me fired up about that. Back to nice land. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now prepare yourself. Oh, we read that. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know, Job. Or who stretched out the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb. You ever seen the ocean? Have you ever been to the ocean? I can't go to the ocean without thinking. I can't go anywhere without thinking about God. But when I'm at the ocean, I think, what a mess. What a beautiful, amazing thing. But do you know something? As crazy as that ocean can seem at times. You know, you watch movies like, movies like The Perfect Storm, and you see these rogue waves and stuff like that, and we know about all those. You see videos about them, 100-foot tall waves. With all of that, God has put boundaries on that ocean. He set boundaries on that ocean. Praise the Lord. This is teaching us something, amen? Or who shut the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling hand or band. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, and this is one of my favorite scriptures, when I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop. Praise the Lord. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? God has determined everything in advance. He has placed everything. Like we understand, we look at weather patterns and we get worried about it. We look at, earthquakes and we get worried about it. Tornadoes, we get worried about it. We get worried about, you know, the rising temperatures or the rising seas, all these things. But God has determined that there is limitations on all of it. God said that it would only go so far. God said it could only go so far. And what am I saying? Am I using this as a way to preach, to be a bad steward? Absolutely not. We need to, one thing I can't stand about cities is people throw their trash everywhere. It's disturbing. It's disgusting when people live like that. There is no reason to live in absolute filth like that. You know, we told you recently, we went to L.A., and we were in that city. We didn't even want to get out of the car. It's filthy, nasty. Hollywood, which everybody raves about Hollywood, filthy, nasty. Didn't even want to get out of the vehicle. We got out of the vehicle, take a picture of the sign, and eat lunch. And even then, we were hesitant. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. We didn't even stop. We drove by the Brady Bunch house, but we didn't even get a picture with it. It's a real house. Hallelujah. Yeah. They just remodeled it on HGTV.
Yeah, they did.
You came to church to find this out. Amen. They did. They made it just like the original. They only used it. They only took like a few video snaps of it or whatever. And that's what they used for the whole show. That's free, no charge. Hallelujah. But we didn't even go to look at that. Of course, it was under construction and stuff. We didn't know HGTV was there. Well, otherwise, we would have gone, you know. But anyways. But God has determined. He set boundaries on everything. Amen. He has set a certain limitation of where it can go. Now, we have to still be good stewards of that. We have to be good stewards. Our own stuff. We can't just be like, well, God gave me this so I can just let it, you know, go to pot. No, we need to take care of our homes and we need to take care of our lives and stuff like that because that does show appreciation. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we see that God is in and there's so many places in scriptures where we see this. This was God's response to Job complaining about his life. You realize that? His response was to tell him what he did. See, what you think, well, why would you bring up scriptures about how God created the earth? Because he was telling us something in there. He was saying that he has set a limitation on all things. And so that whatever's coming against you, there's a limitation on it. Whatever's trying to knock you down, there's a limitation on it. We're going to see more of this. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10:13. And I said that to say this. Amen? Said amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen just means so be it. 1 Corinthians 10. God is so good. He's helping us. Now, before we read the scripture, you have all heard the saying, God won't give you more than you can handle. If you heard that or if you say it, stop saying it. Because God don't give you junk to handle. Praise the Lord. And if you heard that, know this, it's a lie. It's not scripture. This is a scripture that is twisted to get that. Amen? Now let's look at what it really says. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. What does it say? It says he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Now, if we continue reading in Job, or if we go back and read the book of Job, one thing we understand about Job is for all the stuff that he faced and all the stuff that he blamed God for or others blamed God for, The truth that we see in that is that it was the devil who brought that trial to Job. It was the devil who brought those things to Job. It was not God. God is not bringing trial to your life. In fact, the book of James tells us that God does not tempt us, nor is he tempted. Praise the Lord. But it says that we are tempted when we're drawn away by our own evil desires. Amen. And sin is conceived. And then once sin is conceived, we do operate in that, and then once we do that, death comes. That's what the Bible says, amen? But what does it say? It says that there's no temptation overtaking you except is common to man. So what you have to understand is no matter how big it feels, no matter how big it looks, it can't take you out. It can't stop you. God has placed boundaries even on the devil. He said, I'm not going to allow him to go any further. It's just not going to happen. No temptation is overtaking you except as such as common to man. But God is faithful. He is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So you can always, and see, but this is the thing. If you are not living a life for God, if you are living, if you have taken yourself outside the boundaries of God's protection, that don't apply to you. God can't stop it. Listen, it's no different. I have three wonderful children. We have taught them well. Amen. We've raised them in a home. I didn't say perfectly. I said we've taught them well. We've taught them under the admonition of the Lord. We've helped them with direction. We've helped them as much as we can. But they all have decisions to make on their own. When they live life, we can't be with them 24/7. You are not with your kids all the time, are you? And so if you have not put good things into them, they could get into trouble. If my kids decided, which they won't, but if my kids decided to go out there and go against what the Word says, go against what I say, just as if we do, if we go against what our Heavenly Father says, if we go against what the Word says, guess what? We step outside the boundaries of God's protection and we open ourselves up to being attacked by the devil. This is why things overcome even good people, because they haven't followed the commandments of God. The commandments of God are boundaries. Boundaries. When God says, don't commit sexual sin, it isn't because he doesn't want you to enjoy your body. It's because he knows what happens when you commit sexual sin. When God says, don't lie, he knows what happens when you lie. When God says, when God says that don't cheat on your spouse, he says that for a reason, because he knows the death that comes when you step outside of God's boundaries, and all those things are. And see, that's what sin is geared to do. It's geared to try to get us outside of God's boundaries of protection. God, it's not that God is pulling back his hand of protection, but it's that people have stepped out from it. Now you say sometimes, I remember when I was a sinner. I mean a bad sinner. I mean sinning bad. I was loving my sin. You know what I mean? I was out there sinning with the best of them. And I remember times there was amazing things that happened. You're like, well, what about that? God was protecting you then. Yeah. Because somebody was praying for me. Yes. Somebody was praying and pleading on my behalf. See, this is where it matters. You know, there used to be a time where we had things like we call like praying grandmamas. Praying grandmamas that would pray for their grandchildren and their kids. And they would just pray and constantly go before the Lord, you know, and lift them up in prayer. Praise the Lord. It kept us from an awful lot. Kept me from an awful lot. Praise God. Hallelujah. But with temptation, he always gives us a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Every time, it always happens. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. You can't take that out of the Bible. Okay. Praise the Lord. For time's sake, yeah, I want to go to, I want to read this real quick. Matthew 16:19 says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Oh, I want to go back up to verse 18, though, where he's talking to Peter. Jesus was talking to Peter. He said, also I say to you, our Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, hell, shall not prevail against it. And so God has determined that in the church, that there is protection. On this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against what? The church. The church. What is the church? It's not, yes, exactly. It's not the body. It's not this building. However, the body coming together is the church. It's when it comes together. Praise the Lord. I say this all the time. If I cut my hand off and throw it out in the parking lot, it's part of my body still. But what's not happening? It's not getting lifeblood. And guess what? It's going to start stinking. It's going to rot. Eventually, it's going to become no good. And actually, it's a good representation because it doesn't take long for it to become no good, does it? It happens pretty quickly. The same thing when Christians aren't in church, when they're not being full of getting that lifeblood constantly flowing to them. It's the same exact thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so turn with me to Luke 4:1. We're getting close here to end. I know I don't have much of a choice. Luke 4:1. Praise God. Hallelujah. You getting help today? 1-7. than Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So by the Spirit of God, he was taken into the wilderness, into a place where he was going to get tempted. God allowed him to go there to prove what was in his heart. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry after the 40 days. And it says the devil said to him, and you know, I always got this impression here that when it says this, that the devil was standing, like appeared before Jesus. But you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus was in all points tempted just as we are. Yeah. How many times has the devil stood before you? No, I've never seen the devil. I've seen demons, but I've never seen the devil. I've never had the devil himself appear. This was the devil himself. So what do we understand about this? He was dealing with Jesus right here, the same place he deals with you. Because if Jesus was in all points tempted as you, it was the same thing. He wasn't standing before Jesus. He was speaking to his head. He was speaking in his thought life. But how did Jesus deal with that? He dealt with it with the word of God, right? Praise the Lord. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to be turned to bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Wow. It wouldn't have been a temptation if that couldn't have been true. Just food for thought. Therefore, if you will worship me, all will be yours. Of course, we know that Jesus answered him, said, get behind me, Satan. Praise the Lord. But we understand some things there. We understand that the devil was trying to get Jesus too. But even God wouldn't allow him. He put boundaries on him. Yeah. Amen. And Jesus wasn't going to fall into it. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to flip down to Luke 10, verse 19. We're fixing the close here. Luke 10, 19 to 22. Behold, I give you authority, Jesus said. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, I know an awful lot of Christians, by the way that they talk, it sounds like they've never even heard this verse. Yeah. Why? Because they're talking about how bad it is. They're talking about how the devil is just running all over. They're telling about how strong the devil is and how powerful he is. I don't really give a rip. Listen, if you recognize it, if you recognize, okay, this is the devil, or if you're telling a story and say, this is the devil, that's fine. That's one thing. Yeah. But to sit there and go on and talk about the devil, just start talking about how good God is. Yeah. It doesn't matter how strong he is and how strong the attack was. Who cares? I don't care how strong the devil was. He's got boundaries on him, and he's not as strong as God is. And if he's not as strong as God is, if I ain't in the devil, I'm in Christ, I don't give a rip how strong the devil is. I don't give a rip how loud he is. Why? Because God's louder. Amen? Praise the Lord. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Am I going on? Yeah, I'm going on. In the hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. This is very important to us, folks. All things have been delivered to Jesus by my Father. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Amen. The authority, the power has been given to Jesus, and he delegated it to us. He gave it over to us because he wasn't willing that we should go without. He wasn't willing. He wanted us to be able to put the boundaries in our own lives. Praise the Lord. He had set them up for us to take hold of, but it all matters on whether or not we are going to listen to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close in Romans. I'm just going to pull it up. Romans 15:4. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of scriptures we might have hope. That we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures. This, folks, this is where the rubber meets the road. It's trust. Do we understand the word? Do we trust God at his word? Do we believe God that he has leashed the devil? Do we believe God that he has set limitations, not on our lives to hinder us, but he set limitations of things that would come against us, that he has provided things for us? See, we would do good to be people that just say, Lord, what is it that you have revealed to me? What you have provided for me. This isn't going to happen after an afternoon having a prayer after lunch later on saying, hey, God, what have you revealed to me? He's going to reveal the whole plan to you. This only comes through seeking God. If you will be a person who seeks after God in your life, seeks after, how do I seek God? I just go before God. How do I seek after anything? I go after God that way. When I want to seek God, I just, and he stirs me. And then I try to reach out more, and he'll give you opportunity after opportunity. God wants to reveal things to you. He wants to take you through to victory. He wants you to see the transformation in your life. He wants you to see the blessing in the land of the living. David said, I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. In other words, what was he saying? God blesses us here. God wants you to be blessed right here. And so if you want to be blessed, you got to stay within the parameters, the guidelines that God has set up for you to be blessed. Walk in the blessing of God. Walk in the ways of God. Desire the things that he has for you. And watch how your life will transform in a way that you've never even imagined. God will do it. He promised it. It's written in Scripture. Just because some people aren't walking in it, or most people aren't walking in it, is no indication to me that it isn't true. My God is faithful. God is always faithful. He always provides, and he always will. Hallelujah. My God is good. Praise the Lord. You might as well just connect with him. Amen.